First Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Let us now hear the word of the Lord. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for Holy Scripture. And we say with the psalmist, oh, how we love your law. It is our meditation all the day. We know that many times we fall short of that. But that is our aspiration, to love your word, to love your truth. And we pray, Father, that tonight we would do exactly that, that we would love your word, that we would love what you have for us here. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to meditate on these things that we learn here tonight. Help us to think deeply about them. Help us to mull them over in our minds, to revolve them in our hearts, that we might think seriously about what you call us to hear and how we are to put it into practice in our own lives. Well, thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read you a few passages of Scripture from various places in the Old and New Testaments to start with tonight. And I want to see if you can pick out the common theme that binds these texts together. Numbers 14, 20 to 21. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Psalm 86:12. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. John 12. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And then finally, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I hope you can see the common thing binding all those passages of Scripture together, and that is the glory of God. For what purpose did God create the universe? For what purpose are all these things that we see? And to what purpose is our Christian life and what God wants us to do in this earthly life? Answer, the glory of God. Tonight we want to think about the glory of God as we come to this closing portion of 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. Now, let's recap just a little bit where we have been in this passage of Scripture. We began with a reason for why we should live the Christian life in the way that Peter outlines it. That's in verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Because the end of all things is at hand, we ought therefore to do all these things that Peter outlines in the passage. So once we had that in mind, then we moved on to think about all these different aspects of the Christian life or Christian living that the Apostle Peter gives us. The first was to be sober-minded, to be spiritually alert. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers or unto prayer. We're to be sober-minded spiritually so that we can pray properly. Then in verse 8, we talked about love. We're to earnestly, fervently love each other. And the reason why we ought to do that is because the Word of God says that love will cover a multitude of sins. Then number three, we talked about hospitality. Be hospitable to one another. Take in the stranger, particularly the Christian stranger. Take them into your home. Love them. Provide for them. Then last time we talked about spiritual gifts. Verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. We talked about spiritual gifts and how God has provided spiritual gifts for the members of the body of Christ. And Peter also gave us two basic categories for gifts. There are the speaking gifts and there are the serving gifts. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. That's the speaking gift, or we might say the teaching gift, the ability to teach and preach the word of God. Let him do it. If anyone ministers or serves, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. That's the service gift. And there are a variety of gifts that fall under that heading of serving the body of Christ, serving one another. So this is what we talked about last time. We talked about spiritual gifts, and that rounded out our look at the Christian life as Peter lays it out here for us. Now, in this final portion of our study, we want to think about the purpose behind all of this. What is the purpose behind living the Christian life? What is the ultimate goal or the ultimate aim of the Christian life? It is the glory of God. So at the end of verse 11, this last portion begins with the word that. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. How do we know we're dealing with the purpose behind everything that Peter has already told us? It's that little word that. It indicates purpose. Peter has said all of these things, and now he's giving us the purpose why we should do all these things. And of course, that is the glory of God. Now, one question that we might ask here is Peter talking about using our gifts for the glory of God? Or is Peter talking about living the entire Christian life for the glory of God? Well, of course, both of those things are true. And I think that we ought to take this final portion of 1 Peter 4 and in verse 11 and apply it not only to what came right before, but to the entirety of the passage. So if you think about it, why should we be serious and watchful in our prayers? For the glory of God, so that God may be glorified. Why should we have fervent love for one another? So that in all things God may be glorified. Why should we be hospitable to each other? Again, so that God may be glorified. And also, why should we use our gifts? We should use them to glorify God. In particular, as we think about gifts, think about the way Peter put it there in verse 11. If anyone speaks, how is he supposed to do it? In what way? Let him speak as the oracles of God. Why should he speak in that way? Because that brings glory to God. That glorifies God. Not when we come with our own opinions and ideas, but when we come and we speak the very word of God, that brings God glory. Or the service gifts. If anyone ministers or serves, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. Why should we not do it in our own steam? In our own strength and wisdom and power, because that doesn't bring glory to God. That brings glory to us. So we use the service gifts that God has given us in order to glorify God. We use them in a certain way depending upon God's strength and power. Okay, so I hope you see how all of this goes together here. So Peter says that in all things, God may be glorified. We live the entire Christian life. We use our spiritual gifts so that in everything God may be glorified. Now, that's language we use a lot. We talk about glorifying God or bringing glory to God and things like that. But what does that mean? What does it mean to glorify God? Let's think about that for just a moment. It's the Greek word doxazo, and it means to praise, to honor, to extol. So the idea here is in glorifying God, we're praising God, we're extolling God, we're showing how great, how awesome, how majestic God is, and we're giving Him the praise and honor that is due to His great name for who He is and for what He has done. So glorifying God means that we are praising Him and showing how great He is. What is the scope then of God's glory? Well, Peter says it's in all things. In everything, God is to be glorified, no matter what it is. Regardless of what area of life it is, or what aspect of the Christian life it is, whether I'm loving you or you're loving me, or I'm having you in my home, or I'm praying, whatever aspect of the Christian life it may be, it is all to be done for the glory of God. The Apostle Paul, which we read just a few moments ago, he parallels this when he says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." That's all encompassing, right? No matter what you do, whether it's cutting the grass, whether it's vacuuming the floor, whether it is taking out the trash, preaching a sermon, talking with a friend, whatever it is, it all ought to be done for the glory of God. That is the ultimate aim of all things and of our Christian lives. The first question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism is, what is the chief end of man? That's a big question, isn't it? What is the ultimate goal to which man should be directed? The answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. This is the great goal of life, the glory of God. Did you know that? The goal of human life, the goal of human existence, the goal of the universe, the goal of history, the goal of the church and of the Christian life is the glory of God. The universe itself is a theater for the display of God's glory. This is the Godward focus of our lives as Christians, the use of spiritual gifts, or whatever we do it all for the glory of God. Is that the goal of your life? Is that the goal of my life? I have to ask myself that question. You ever had to ask yourself that question? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Am I doing it for me? Or am I doing it for the glory of God? Am I doing it for my own honor? Or am I doing it for the honor of God? Am I doing it that I might be praised? Or that He might be praised? Have you ever in your life hated someone who was the center of attention and you weren't? Perhaps you have. I can think of a few stinkers that were at the very center of attention and I was shoved off into the shadows. And I did not appreciate that. Not one bit. I did not appreciate how everybody fawned over them and thought they were great. And everybody ignored me and thought I was insignificant and without meaning or great meaning and great purpose, at least. I realized at some point that the reason why I joined the Marine Corps in 1996 is because I was hunting for my own glory. I was looking for the glorification of self. I was tired of being a nobody, and I wanted to be a somebody. I wanted to force other people to stand up and pay attention to me, to quit looking at everybody else and start looking at me. And I realize now in retrospect that even though many people would applaud that today, it was entirely and 100% wrong. Completely wrong. I was on a hunt for my own glory rather than God's glory. Because the goal and purpose of life is God's glory. It's not so that we will be seen as great. It's not so that we will be seen as having great worth and to be praised and exalted. No, it's so that God will be seen as great, so that He will be praised, so that He will be exalted. There is something within each and every one of us that is at war with this goal here in verse 11. That in all things God may be glorified. There is something in your heart as a fallen sinner that is at war with that. That does not want that. It's called pride. It's called the sin of pride. Man, naturally, since the fall, does not want to give glory to God. Who does he want the glory for? Number one, right? He wants it for himself. This is what man has been seeking to do ever since the fall. He has been seeking to rob God of His glory, to take the glory from the one to whom it belongs and take it for himself. Can you see that in your own life? I noticed myself doing something not too long ago. And the thought occurred to me that perhaps I was doing that thing for my own glory. And so now I'm cognizant of it. And when I do it, I stop and I repeat 1 Corinthians 10:31 to myself and say, therefore, Nick, whether you eat or drink or do this thing you're doing or whatever it is, do all to the glory of God. And I pray, I often pray, Lord, may this bring you glory and not me. Because I see that in my heart at times, that I desire that glory, that I desire that praise and that honor that belongs to God. All people naturally live for themselves. It is so deeply ingrained in us, right? We want to be the center of the universe and we want others to revolve around us. We want them to recognize our greatness, our worth, and give us glory for it. That's the way it's been since the fall. So we are going to have to get a divine reorientation away from self, away from me and my glory, and a reorienting toward God and His glory. You and I are going to have to be born again for that to happen, right? Fallen man by himself in his sin refuses to give God the glory. So we must be born again. We must be saved and transformed. And even then, it's going to take effort for you to refuse to glorify yourself and instead, in all things, seek God's glory. Because that is the goal of life. You know the prayer of the psalmist, right? It's a prayer that we ought to have in our hearts and on our lips frequently. Psalm 115:1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory. That's the prayer of the Christian, right? God, not me. May the honor not come to me. May the glory not come to me. May it come to you. That is the heart cry of the redeemed, born again, child of God, because this is the goal of all things, and this is the goal of the Christian life. Why we are doing what we are doing is for the glory of God. Now, this glory has a path, one person to whom or through whom it must go. Verse 11, that in all things God may be glorified. How? Through whom? Look at it. Through Jesus Christ. That's how it has to happen. It is very specific. There is no generic glory given to God. If we are to glorify God, it must come through the person of the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one through whom we can glorify God. You know, there's a generic kind of spirituality out there today. There are people willing to talk about being spiritual. There are people even willing to talk about God. But when you start to get down to specifics about who Jesus is and what the gospel is about, they often get nervous about those things. They may not even want to get into those things. They may reject those things entirely. But God accepts no generic, vague spirituality. Everything must come through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has commanded us to relate to Him through His Son. That's how we do it. There's only one way. We cannot honor God. We cannot bring glory to God in any way we see fit. We can't attach ourselves to any religion or religious figure, mumble certain prayers, engage in chakras, or whatever it may be, and think, I'm glorifying God just by virtue of being kind of vaguely spiritual. No, it all has to come through the specific person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The other day I was trying to get air into the tires and wasn't going very well. And the means to get the air into the tires was this apparatus, right? This thing that we have in our house that I couldn't manage to get it to work right. And so I had to go down the street to the gas station. I can't, you know, wave the air into the tires. I can't blow the air into the tires. It doesn't work that way. There is one means to do it. And I have to go through that one means to make it happen. So in this case, if we want to bring glory to God, if we want to glorify Him in everything that we do, it all must come through Jesus. It all must come through our Lord, the Son of God. Remember back in chapter 2, the Apostle Peter told us that we were a kingdom of priests now. We were a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. What was the purpose of that? The purpose of that was so that we would offer up acceptable spiritual sacrifices to God. Listen to it again in 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. What's the next part? Through Jesus Christ. If our sacrifices of praise, of worship, of thanksgiving, of whatever it is, are going to be acceptable to God, they've all got to go through Jesus. That's the only way it can be accepted, is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same thing with God's glory. God has decreed and ordained that He will be glorified in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Peter closes here with a doxology. Final portion of verse 11, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. What is a doxology? A doxology is an ascription of praise or an ascription of glory to God. It comes again from that Greek term for glory, doxa. Doxa, doxology. It is a speaking of an ascription verbally of glory to God. That's what a doxology is, and that's what Peter does here at the end of this section. And that's fitting, isn't it? So let's think about how these things connect here. Peter has just said that in all things God may be glorified. And now what does he do? He ascribes the glory to God. It belongs to him. He ascribes two things to God, glory and dominion. Let's think about these two for just a moment. First of all, he says, to whom belong the glory? Peter gives praise to God by saying that the glory belongs to Him. It is His exclusively. We ascribe it to Him because it is His due. It's His. Why should God receive all the glory? Why should all things be done for His glory? Answer, it belongs to Him. It is His. It is His rightful due. Have you ever received something that you felt guilty about it because you didn't deserve it? I remember in my previous job, there were times when I thought I did not deserve a raise or a promotion or any of that. The work that I did that particular year I thought was pretty common and relatively unimportant. And those were the years when my boss, he must have had like amnesia or something, or lost his mind temporarily. He was always like, oh, you've just done the most wonderful work. This is so great. Here's more money and a promotion. Now, in other years when I thought, hey, I'm doing a good thing here, I should expect a raise, went the other direction. But anyway, sometimes I felt guilty about that because I didn't deserve it. Well, who deserves the glory? Who's worthy of it? Who's not worthy of it? God alone is worthy of it and not us. You know that, right? You've heard that many times, but God has to spend a lifetime drilling that into your mind, burning that into your soul. Not to you, but to Him is the glory due. You are not worthy of it, but He is. It all belongs to Him. The second thing that Peter ascribes to God here is dominion. Dominion, or we might say power or rule. This is a familiar thing for the authors of Scripture to ascribe to God. to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Now, those two things go together. God has all might, all rule, all power, and as such, He deserves all glory. And so you'll oftentimes find the saints, the church, the people of God praising God and giving glory and dominion to Him. Now, how long should God and will God receive this glory and dominion? It's eternal. To whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever, or literally unto the ages and the ages, for all eternity, as the years, as the millennia roll by in eternity. God will be glorified. He will be praised. He will be honored. All the glory, the dominion, might, and power will be given to Him. You think about it in the book of Revelation, right? Oftentimes the people of God, or even creation itself, is bursting into praise in the book of Revelation. And what are they doing? They're ascribing glory and dominion and power to the Lord our God. Revelation 5:13, for example. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power. There are those two words that we see here in 1 Peter 4:11. Be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. This is what the people of God do. They give God glory. They give Him all of the glory, and they ascribe all of the praise to Him, for He is the sovereign Lord. Finally, Peter closes with that familiar word, amen. As you've heard me say before, this is not just simply a way to end things. It's not just simply a way to say, okay, we're done here and we're moving on to something else. No, this is a way to close or bring things to a close in faith. So this is Peter saying, so let it be. This is true. What has just been said. So let God receive this glory and this dominion from our lives for all eternity. This is the way that we express our belief in what has been said. You know that God wants you to live in a certain way as a Christian. And He has outlined some of that for us here in 1 Peter 4:7-11. But it is possible to live the Christian life and do so in a self-centered way. Did you know that? It is possible for me to preach and teach and lead the people of God in a self-centered way. In a way in which I am thinking about me. I'm thinking about my glory. It is also possible for you as well. It's possible for you to live the Christian life and do so with the wrong motivations, with the wrong purpose, at the root of things. And I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to examine that root and see whether or not you are doing what you are doing for God's glory or for your own. All things are to be done for God, that He might be praised, that He might be exalted, that He might be honored. So let us then do all things, as Peter says here, that God may be glorified. Let us pray so that God may be glorified. Let us love each other so that God may be glorified. Let us be hospitable so that God may be glorified. Let us use our gifts so that God may be glorified. Let every aspect of our Christian lives be directed toward Him and His glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this reminder. Father, we often get off track in the motivation of our heart and the direction of our lives. It's very easy. Father, selfishness comes naturally to us. A self-centered focus comes naturally to us. It is not Your glory that we will naturally seek, but our own. And so we ask, Father, that You would help us. Help us to direct our lives. Help us to direct what we do as Christians. Help us to direct how we use those things that you have given us. Help us to direct all those things to honor and glorify you. Help us to do it all through the Lord Jesus Christ, specifically in reference to him. And Lord, may you receive that glory and that dominion for all eternity. May now, in the years ahead, and for all of eternity, may we be among the people of God who give you praise and honor and glory and might for all eternity. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.